We will be in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis this morning. Names have meaning. Do you know why your parents chose your name? I know why my parents chose my name. And it's not because of what it means. My name, Curtis, means courteous one, someone who is kind. My nickname, Kurt, or the shortened form, means somebody who is irritable, short with people. But that's not why they didn't choose my name because of what it meant. They chose my name because my dad's name was Donald. His shortened form was Don, but all the kids at school called him Donnie. And he didn't like that E at the end. So he chose a name, Kurt, that couldn't have, or at least most people wouldn't put an E on the end because they wouldn't call me Curty. So that's why they chose my particular name. Now, with the birth of our final child, Beth, I had wanted to go with a name like Gertruda or Olga or Brumhilda, but my wife overruled me and we ended up with Elizabeth. I think that was a good choice. All right, so why do you think people named their children, not today, we name them often because of the sound of the name, it just strikes our fancy, but in the Old Testament days, they named their kids for more than the sound. In fact, a lot of times, their names are just normal words. There was a student at college when I was there whose name was Branch. And I always thought that was kind of an interesting name. A little strange, but he was a really cool guy, so he could get away with it, you know? But Branch just sounds a little strange. We don't name our kids with normal words, but they did in Hebrew. So I want to draw your attention to Genesis chapter 5. And what I'm hoping to show you is impossible to see in English. But with a little bit of prompting, I think we'll see it in Hebrew. If somebody gives you a hint, points some key features out, it becomes evident, I think, what Moses was doing here as he recorded the genealogy of Adam. So you probably haven't heard a sermon from the genealogy of Adam. Maybe you have. I don't know. I don't know that I ever have. But I think this is especially important to talk about today, as we celebrate Jesus and what he's done. So let's look at our text. In Genesis 5, we read these words, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And then we have a list of each one of the descendants of Adam. In verse 3, we read, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image, and named him Seth. And then it goes on. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Okay, so that's the general formula for each one of these people. You have Adam in verse 6, his son Seth. Okay, and if you look at the end of verse 8, Seth died. If you look back at verse 5, Adam died. This is going to be really important. Adam and he died. Seth and he died. Verse 9, Enosh. Into verse 11, and he died. Kenan, and he died. Mahalalel, and he died. Okay. Jared, and he died. But then we get to Enoch. And you don't have that formula. Are you like me, and have you ever wondered, probably you have, why did God take Enoch? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I mean, was Enoch just that much more godly than other people? I mean, I look at Job. Job's one of the most godly men recorded in Scripture. Daniel, I mean, why Enoch? Might there be a reason, a special reason, why Enoch was taken as he was. So Enoch kind of breaks the formula, and that'll be important as we move on. But let's keep going. Methuselah. man who lived longer than anyone else. Yet he died. Lamech, and he died. And then we have Noah. And once again, there's no statement of death. There is later in the book of Genesis, but not here. All right. What's going on with the genealogy? There are a number of things that we could talk about, but what we want to focus on are the names. The names. I think what we're going to see here as we reveal the meaning of the names is something that will draw us to our Savior. Let's look at the names for a moment. Adam, Seth, Enosh, etc. With the name Adam, it's actually translated for us. It's the only name that is translated. We can see that he is called man. That is, the name Adam means man. All right? But what about the other names? I'm going to give you the meanings. I'm not going to explain fully the significance just yet, but I'd like to give you the meanings. Adam, of course, means man, as it says here in this verse. Seth is appointed. It's just the word appointed. Would you like to be named appointed? Probably not. Okay. Enosh means mortal. Kenan means sorrow. How would you like to go around with the name sorrow? Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. By the way, you can do a Strong's Concordance study and find out these things on your own. Okay, if you know Hebrew, you could do that, more easily, but you can still use Strong's and find out all the meanings of these names. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means lost, and Noah means rest. Okay, so before we look at the names more deeply, I'd like to draw our attention to the three times when Moses makes editorial comments in the chapter. Look back at verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female he created them. And he blessed them and named them man. Now that word there means Adam. It is Adam. Okay, Adam and man are the same word. It's just simply translated for us there instead of transliterated. So the A, D, A, and M in Hebrew are translated man. Okay? They were named man, Adam and Eve, when they were created. Alright, so we have the creation of the first couple. We know what happens with them. We know that they thirst for knowledge, they eat of the fruit, and they plunge not just themselves, but their entire race into sin. Alright, now go down to the next editorial comment, which is in verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In each other instance, you have the statement, and he lived. But in this instance, you have, and he walked with God. He lived versus he walked. We'll make something of that. And then we come down to verse 29. Look what Moses says about Noah. I find this odd. The more I read this and meditated on it, I found the wording odd. It's not odd, but it seems odd. Verse 29. So Lamech gave birth to Noah and called him that, his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. What's that about? Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, Noah's going to bring us relief from the toil and pain? how did Noah do that? I mean, he did save the human race from the flood, but how did he actually do this? Why would his dad say, out of the ground? Where is that coming from, and what's the point? So we have the editorial comment about Adam and Eve. God named them man, and we know what happened to man. And then you have the editorial comment about Enoch. He's never taken in death. Death is overruled in his case. And then you have the editorial comment about Noah, which seems a little bit strange. Maybe a lot strange. Because Noah never did that. Noah wasn't capable of doing that? Why? All right. Names have meaning. So let's go back and realize now that this genealogy proclaims the gospel. Did you know that? You may have already run across this, so maybe this is not new to you. But in my, I would say in my studies, it was actually a friend a couple of months ago who tipped me off to this, and so I started doing some study then and realized he was right. All right? And he's getting it from other sources, so you can find this elsewhere. This is not, by the way, original with me. Okay? But look at the meanings of the names. The gospel is proclaimed here in Genesis chapter 5 in the meanings of the names. How so? All right. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. And Enosh means mortal. Put those together. Just read them. Okay? Man was appointed mortal. That is, man, because of the fall, was appointed or became, because of sin, God cursed them, appointed them mortal. Now, what did that result in? The result of man being appointed or changed physically by the power of God brought sorrow. And that is exactly what you have in the name Kenan. By the way, for those of you who go home and do the study on the name Kenan, you have two options in Strong's. Okay? And either one of them is valid. Both of them can very easily preach the gospel. I've chosen the word sorrow, but there's another meaning that is brought forth. If you want to study Strong's, it's Strong's 7014 or 7015. The reason it could be either one is because in Hebrew, there are no vowels. Okay, and so it's the exact same word, just different vowel pointings. All right. Anyway, man was appointed mortal, and that results in sorrow. Look at the rest of the words. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. And Enoch means teaching. Now put that together. The blessed God shall come down teaching. Could this be coincidence? I don't think so. Intentional. Did each parent name their kid this, realizing, you know, the full impact? Certainly not. God's direction, God did. He directed them, I think, to name them these names. But each individual parent probably did not. I don't think would have. But when you put them together, it is there. Man was appointed mortal. This resulted in sorrow. Therefore, what did God have to do? The blessed God, Mahalalel, shall come down teaching. Okay, did the blessed God come down? And did he teach? For sure. No doubt about it. Jesus became the second Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. Jesus became human flesh, did not give up his deity, he was the God-man who came down to teach what? He came down to teach the following. Look at the last three names. Methuselah, his death shall bring. What a weird name for a child. Okay, you can look it up in Strong's, you can look it up wherever you want. That is a strange name. His death shall bring, but that's what his parents chose him to be called. And then Lamech just means lost. Not sure that I would have wanted that name either. Lost. Hey, lost. You know, come over here. Yeah, he's lost. You could just hear all the kids teasing him, right? Lost. Methuselah, his death shall bring. What did Jesus teach? His death shall bring the lost. And what does Noah mean? Noah means rest. And there's a variant form of the word, a similar form of the word that also means comfort. Okay, so it can mean either, but probably here the intention is rest. It's preaching the same message. His death shall bring the lost rest. That's what our Savior preached when he came to this earth. Our Savior became a man. Okay, but he, because of the virgin birth, because of the power of God that overshadowed Mary as she was given child by the Holy Spirit, was not appointed mortal in this way. He was fully man, but he did not have the sinful nature, is what I'm trying to point out there. So what was he then able to do? He was able to overrule death. Now, in the case of Enoch, again, coming back to that, I've always wondered, why Enoch? Why was he taken like this? There were other men, probably just as godly as he, in the Old Testament days, so why him? Could it be that the very reason he was taken is to complete the message here in Genesis chapter 5? I think that's why. So, Jesus, of course, did die. But he overcame death. That is, God overruled death in his case, resurrected him, and just like Enoch was taken up into heaven, so Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, was taken up into heaven. Jesus became a man. He overcame death for our behalf. And his death does what? It brings the lost, Lamech, rest, Noah. Is that not an incredible message from the pen of Moses so many thousands of years ago in Genesis chapter 5? You don't see it in English because you read, you know, these names, Adam, Seth, Enosh, they don't mean anything to us. But if you read them in Hebrew, they say exactly what I read. Man appointed mortal sorrow, the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the lost rest. Typologically then, Adam means that Jesus became a man. Mahalalel, Jesus is God. Jared, Jesus came down. Enoch, Jesus didn't live with God in disobedience. He walked with God just as Enoch did in obedience and then overcame death. Methuselah, Jesus died as a substitute for the lost. And Noah, Jesus brought rest to all those who were represented by him. Are you here this morning represented by Christ? Are you here this morning as a follower of Jesus? Jesus does love you. He cares about you. Jesus left the glories of heaven and came down to earth and paid a terrible price, allowing himself to be tortured, crucified, and he died on a cross for you. The message of salvation, the message of forgiveness from sin, the message of hope, they're all embedded in Genesis 5. They are found all throughout the Old Testament and the New as well. They've been there for a long time. You're here this morning. Maybe this is the first time you've heard this message, this truth. Maybe you've heard it many times. But are you here this morning, sitting there, thinking in your mind, you know what? I think I believe in Jesus. I believe in all the things that Kurt's saying, but I'm not a Christian yet. I mean, I call myself a Christian. Maybe I go to church and all that, but I'm not yet changed. I don't have Jesus as my Savior. I've never given my life to Him. I haven't bowed my knee and asked Him to remove my sin from me. Are you sitting here today with Jesus or apart from Him? If you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you know who He is, you know what He's done, but you have never made Him yours. You've never made you His. Then, in the minutes that follow, will you just, where you are, sitting in the pew, bow your head, you can do it right now, bow your head and pray a very simple request that would go something like this. Jesus, I know that I sin. I know I'm a sinner. And I know what You did for me. I know that You came to earth and that Your death was for me and that Your death took my sins away and gave me Your righteousness. And would You ask Jesus, right where you are now, would you ask Him to save you from your sin? Today is the day. Don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow or next week. Pray to accept Jesus today. Let's go to the Lord. Our Father, we've seen from Genesis 5 the truth, a powerful truth. A truth that's repeated so often in the Scriptures that it cannot be missed. The truth that Jesus became man, died for our sin, resurrected, conquered death, overruled, so that He would ascend and be with You, our Father. Lord, we pray that for the one or two or three or however many are here today who don't know You, we pray for him or her that they would not wait, that today would be the day when they accept the Lord, Your Son, as their Savior. Father, it is such a glorious thing to be saved from sin. Life is so different afterward. We pray for them, anyone who's here who is lost, that they would not be lost when they leave this building. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, who we will continue to focus on now. Amen.